Amen. Please be seated. Well, it is good to be with you this morning, and a happy Thanksgiving to all, and it's a blessing to be in the midst of God's people this day. The reading of God's word will come to us this morning from Psalm 103, and this is indeed the sermon passage. So Psalm 103, a great psalm of thanksgiving concerning the Lord's benefits to his people. A psalm of David, Psalm 103. Listen to the reading of God's word from Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you, his angels, you mighty ones, who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. As far as the reading of God's word, may he add his blessing to it and to its preaching in our midst today. Well, let's pray. Let's go before the Lord in prayer at this time. O Father, we do indeed bless you. We do indeed come to you, O God, to bless your name, remembering who you are, not forgetting your benefits, remembering who you are as a God who is faithful to us, who has been faithful to us to the point of sending your own beloved Son to pay the price for our sins. How we rejoice, O Lord, to belong to you. How we rejoice, O Lord, that you have for us many benefits stored up for us in Christ and in heaven. Share these with us. Pour these upon us, we pray, by the working of your Spirit. Bless the preaching of your word this day. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, this psalm here, you may have noticed, as you know, we've considered, you know, some of the thoughts of this psalm already previously in the service in different settings. But you may have noticed that there's some special emphasis here in this psalm upon the fact that God's people are people who are frail, and people who are weak. There's a special emphasis here on the weakness and the frailty of God's servants in this psalm, isn't there? One place this comes out really, really, really clearly. Verse 14 in the text, where the Lord knows our frailty. He knows our weakness. He knows our frame. And he remembers that we are what? In verse 14, that we are dust. Dust. The thing about dust is something very small, very slight, very feeble, very insignificant, seemingly. Easily blown away, easily swept away is dust. This is what we are, dust. We are small, we are slight, we are insignificant. Surely another aspect of dust, another part of the reference that's here in the reference to dust, is our creation of the dust, being made from the dust. But of course, being made from the dust, we can't mention that without also mentioning at the same time the fact that one day we are destined to return to that same dust we were made from. Genesis 3:19, the curse that came into the world, the day when Adam committed the first sin of all mankind's history. When that happened, we who were made from the dust became bound to return to the dust. And yet the Lord knows that we are dust. The Lord remembers that we are dust. Here is a reminder of our weakness, our frailty. We are dust. We are dust that is here for a moment and that is gone a short time later. Made from the dust, one day our short lives are bound to come to an end. And David reflects upon this. He reflects upon this here. Verse 14, in the fact that the Lord knows that we are dust. Yet another aspect of our mortality is referred to here in Psalm 103. Especially, he continues his thoughts in verse 15 and verse 16. You know, not only are we dust that will return to the dust one day. Also in verse 15, as for man, his days are like grass. You know, in Isaiah 40 that grass is something that withers, and we all understand this from having grass, from having worked with grass and having grass in our yards. Grass is something that can wither. Grass is something that can fade away, whose life can be cut short. We are also in verse 15 like flowers in the field. Our flourishing is just like that of a flower in the field. And when a sweeping wind stirs up and comes, it carries that flower away. And that flower is carried off to a way that nobody knows, and that flower is gone. Isn't this the way we are? This is a reflection on the feebleness, the frailty of mankind. The fact that life is short-lived, the fact that we are those who live for a short while and then pass away quickly. The frailty and feebleness of man comes up again in verse 3 and verse 4. We are people who need to be saved from the pit. The pit is a place of death. The pit is a place people go to die. People who fall into the pit fall to their death. In verse 3, there are diseases that need to be healed. Well, what is disease if not a prelude to death? What is disease if not the thing that anticipates death? The weakness of our bodies in disease is the very same weakness that overtakes us in death. Once again, we see numerous forms of frailty, weakness. David reflects upon the weakness of God's people in relation to their God here in Psalm 103. Mortality, frailty. We are short-lived. We don't last long. Yet another way that God's people are weak in this passage, another form of weakness is referred to, and it fits into a second category, not just mortality, not just shortness of life, also weakness in the fact of our sin against God. You see this theme come up in a number of places in Psalm 103, our sinfulness. You see words like in verse 3, words like iniquity, sins committed against the Lord. You see in verse 9, the Lord expressing anger and chiding, the proper fitting response of a holy God to the sins that his people commit. Verse 10, transgressions. A second way that we are weak. Not just mortality, also sinfulness. Not only are our bodies weak and feeble, so also are our souls and our character towards the one who has saved us and who claims our praise. Even though we belong to him and he is our God, we sin against him like he is not our God. And this is another form of frailty that is true of the people of God. Not just our bodies, also our souls are weak, as we often are prone to sin and to provoke our God to anger. You see these two great themes here in Psalm 103, these two ways that God's people are seen to be weak and frail. Mortality, also sinfulness before the Lord. Death and sin. Sin and death. You know, those things go together, don't they? They so often do in the scriptures. Sin and death. Two things that are related. Not unrelated, you know. Death came into the world the day that our first father Adam sinned. And ever since, sin and death tends to dominate human life. And we who are God's people, though we are redeemed, though we belong to him, we are not untouched by sin or by death, are we? Death and sin still touches us, just as it touches anyone. Even though we are spared in the end, even though we are the redeemed, our lives are also marked by sin and death. Yet these two things highlight our weakness, our frailty before the Lord. So again, that's one thing we see here in Psalm 103. We see this very, very strong emphasis, an emphasis that is a little bit unique, that doesn't always show up in all the Psalms. But here in Psalm 103, special reflection on the weakness, the feebleness of God's people and God's servants as David meditates upon the Lord. He emphasizes the weakness of his people. And yet we ought to also notice that the psalm is not just tuning our ears to the fact that we are weak and we are feeble and sinful and mortal. But that's not the main purpose of what David is doing here, is it? Even though he refers to our weakness, our feebleness, our frailty, the main point is not just to put that in our face. What is the main point that he's after in Psalm 103? Well, the whole point of this psalm is actually to praise the Lord, to give praise to the Lord, to give praise to him. Why? To give praise to him for what? Well, we see in verse 2, to give praise to him for all his benefits. There are good things the Lord has to give. And yet the fact that he tunes our ears to the fact that we are feeble and we are weak, yet the point that he makes in doing this is that it is the Lord who upholds us in our weakness. And isn't this the point of what David is doing here? He praises the Lord because the Lord is a God who upholds his people even in their weakness. Even in spite of their weakness, you could even say. The weaknesses of God's people are referred to. They're also referred to in such a way that makes clear that the Lord has an answer to those weaknesses. Look at this. In verse 3, we have sins, we have iniquity. What does the Lord do in answer to our sin and our iniquity? In verse 3, he forgives us. We sin, we provoke him to anger. He looks past what we've done and still ends up blessing us in the end. In verse 10, he doesn't deal with us according to our sins. He doesn't repay us what our iniquities deserve. Even though we sin against him, he doesn't treat us according to our sins. He treats us according to his faithfulness, according to his goodness. He treats us better than our sins deserve. In verse 12, he removes our transgressions from us and puts them at such a distance that they are as far apart as opposite directions on the compass. As far as the east is from the west, an infinite distance apart, the Lord removes our transgressions for us. He shows us compassion. He shows us pity. He knows what we are. He knows who we are. yet at the same time, he upholds faithfulness and he upholds us. His steadfast love holds us. And this is the final word. Again, not only does the Lord answer our sins, he also answers our weakness in terms of our mortality and the fact that we are prone to die and prone to fade. The Lord is one who does what? He heals diseases. He redeems life from the pit. The Lord is a life-giving God, a life-saving God. But when he saves our lives, when he spares our lives, he does not just spare, merely. He does not merely spare our lives. But what does he do? He takes us from this place of lowliness and even death, but he lifts us up to a highly exalted position. In verse 4, he crowns us. He crowns us. In verse 5, he satisfies us. So when he spares the life, he does not merely spare the life, as if then we just go on barely surviving, just scraping by. He places us in a position that's high above where we started out when we began. He crowns us. He treats us like we are royalty. He also satisfies us, fills our lives with good things, gives us a sense of energy for life that renews us and refreshes us in terms of youthfulness, as he mentions there in verse 5. So again, we see the Lord as the answer to our weakness. The Lord is the answer to our frailty. Yes, we are weak. Yes, we are frail. Yes, we are prone to death. Yes, we are prone to sin. But the Lord is one who delivers from death. The Lord is one who forgives iniquity. And indeed, the fact that this is who the Lord is the very thing that fuels the praise of God's people, is the very thing that fuels the praise of David, as he writes here in Psalm 103. Who the Lord is the answer to our weakness and to our frailty, gives us reason to do the very thing that David did. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Now, this is very much the message that David has for us in Psalm 103. Praise and honor belong to the Lord who is enthroned in heaven, owing to the fact that he delivers benefits, that he blesses his people. Though his people are weak, though his people are frail, though his people are feeble, the Lord is able to give, and the Lord does give, and the Lord does bestow that which his people need. Therefore, he's worthy of praise. And if this was true in David's day, when David wrote this, as he was able to look back and see the hand of the Lord over the history of his people Israel, over the ways that the Lord had made himself known to Moses, made his ways known to Moses, made his ways known to David himself, isn't it even more true for us today in the fact that we have seen the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have seen his coming, that we have heard what he has done? We see in Psalm 103 that the true God who is Lord over heaven and earth is one who looks past the sins of his people, does not treat them as their sins deserve, does not intend to remain angry and chiding forever. And we recognize this God as the one who put the Son of God on the cross for us. We look at Psalm 103 and we see the Lord who is blessed there as the God who redeems the life from the pit, a God who is life-saving, life-giving. And we see in Psalm 103 the God who raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead and who seated us with him in heaven. So we see who the Lord is. We see that he is worthy of praise. We see his ultimate intention to save us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we recognize in the work of Jesus Christ even greater reason to bring blessing to the Lord our God. Once again, we heard earlier in the service, we considered Ephesians chapter 1, and you saw those spiritual blessings that are stored up for us in Christ in heavenly places. And isn't that in many ways a catalog of the very blessings that God has given to us, his people. May we continue to think upon these things. May we continue to meditate upon these things. And every time we do, every time we remember what our God has done for us, may we not forget all his benefits. And may we respond the very same way that Paul did, the very same way that David does here in this psalm, by blessing the Lord with all that is within us. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, once again, indeed, we do bless your holy name, and we recognize that we do so only because you have enabled us to do so. Your Spirit has stirred up our hearts and has opened our eyes, has given sight to the blind, has helped us to answer the word of God. The word that you sent forth has called us into life by the power of your Holy Spirit, and therefore we are able, by your Spirit, to bless your holy name. And we do so, O Lord, through the mediation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we give all praise to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for the redemption that you have granted to us. And, O Lord, help us to not forget all your benefits, especially during this time of Thanksgiving. It's a particular time of remembrance, a particular time of calling to mind your goodness, your faithfulness, your steadfast love that's from everlasting to everlasting. We praise you, O Lord, that even though our lives are short and one day will pass, your steadfast love never passes and is unending. It is from everlasting to everlasting. And we know this in the great glorious redemption you have given to us in Jesus Christ. Help us to rejoice in you. Help us to rejoice in that eternal life that we have. And yet, help us to rejoice in it even now as we share that life together today, even in one another's presence, as the redeemed people of God. Grant to us hearts that are quick to do what David did, that are quick to bless the Lord with all that is within us, and that do not forget all his benefits. Lord, we ask these things for the glory of your name. We pray all these things through the Lord Jesus Christ, our all-sufficient, most glorious Savior. Amen.